We'd like to welcome everybody to Barbie's Grove. One's in the sanctuary, one's in the parking lot, and one's that we listen to the podcast later on this afternoon. We just want to give everybody a very special welcome. It's a good group this morning. It's good to see everybody here. And we thank you for taking the time and the privilege and placing Barbie's Grove as a priority for your worship today. We're going to be looking a little bit different today. The pastor's not with us, and I'm filling in for this part of it. Leonard will be bringing a message to us the next little bit. So, you know, we've got a lot of sickness in the community, and we have members of our own congregation in the hospital. And let's remember all these folks as we go about our lives today. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer for a few minutes. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that has come this way. We thank you for the blessings of health and strength, dear Father. We thank you for each one giving their time and making this a priority to come and see and worship you today, the true Lord of this universe, the great I Am. Dear Father, you know everything that's going on in our world today. You're with us, dear Father. We just ask you to give us the ability to make wise decisions, follow you, and thank you for all your blessings and our prayers that have been answered, dear Father. Dear Father, we are a needy people, dear Father. We look to you for guidance and wisdom. Dear Father, many people in the world around about us suffering today, the ones that have lost loved ones, the ones that are sick, the one that was supposed to come today is sick. He can't be here. We lift him up to you, Father. The ones that have experienced these terrible fires in the West, the tornadoes in the Midwest, dear Father, you know all about this. Nothing surprises you. But we just lift these folks up, dear Father, ask you to be with them and give them their needs and meet their needs and help us to be able to meet their needs if we can, and it's whatever way you lay in front of us. Again, we thank you for letting us be here. We just ask you to be with the speaker there, and then we lift him up. All these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Kenny, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning, these smiling faces, and it's always good. You know, God's going to deliver us from all of this mess. I believe that, don't you? He's more powerful than anything we can imagine, and he's in control of it all. Let's have a hymn sing this morning. Let's sing a happy song. He keeps me singing, and indeed, I feel like singing this morning. So let's all stand and sing He Keeps Me Singing, page 425. We're going to do 1, 2, and 5 as we stand this morning. Keep. welcome someone this morning. Well, good morning. And again, I have some announcements for you this morning. And I don't want you to, at the end of the service today, we're going to ask you to please come and participate in a love offering for Pastor Ed. So if you would please do that at the end of the service today. We want you to come down and just place your money in a plate down here in front. We won't be taking it up. Yes, Lori. Yes, indeed. If you don't have an envelope, make sure. I went ahead. I'm going to be the pet of the class here. I went ahead and did mine and marked it Pastor Ed. So if you do that, you want to do it that way, that's perfectly fine. Or else just go ahead and just make sure you mark it in some way where Miss Lori can tell what to do with the money. Okay? And then Miss Brenda appreciate that so much, won't you, Brenda? Amen. So anyway, let's not forget to do that at the end of service today. Before you go that way, come this way if God leads you to do so. I want to keep reminding you that Bible study is Wednesday night. We have a wonderful time in Bible study. McCord and I talking this morning about how much we do get out of Bible study, and indeed we do. Pastor Ed does such a wonderful job each and every Wednesday night. So I encourage you to come. Our quarterly conference, Jeff, am I following that correct with you on your announcement side of it? I may not. We got a quarterly conference that's coming up on January the 16th. Not today. Not to worry.
I didn't get it. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. No problem. I just got some things here. The Lord's Supper will be observed on January the 30th. So we've got some things. And Baptist Men's Day. We'll catch up now.
I got that.
Now, all right, sir. Now, you want to go ahead and talk about Baptist Men's Day? Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's wonderful. All right. All right. Is there any other announcements that I've overlooked? Yes. All right. Okay. Baptist women, you please come down front and meet with Rita right after service today. Again, before you go that way, come here. Rita, appreciate that. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to our prayer requests this morning, and we'll have prayer requests. I have a few that I want to share with you that I know about. Let's remember Pastor Ed and Pam. They're home today. They're under the weather. They're not feeling well. I want to make sure you understand that they don't have COVID as far as we know. We know that they're being tested and having tests for that, and we know they feel bad enough to where they don't want to come here and have a chance of exposing anyone. So let's keep them in our prayers and continue to pray for them. Miss Nell Jackman, let's remember Nell. She's in the hospital. You got your one call yesterday, and remember that. But Miss Nell is in the hospital. And Kathy, you want to bring us up to date on how the infection is doing?
She's feeling better. They gave her three different types of antibiotics. We're still waiting some tests and things. She may have to have an amputation of one of her non-weight-bearing toes. So we're just kind of iffy there. But she's doing a lot better than she was yesterday morning. So please keep praying for her. And she's enjoying being.
Amen. All right. And let's remember, we have Jean Little. Let's remember Jean Little. I talked to this morning, and she's not doing well. So let's remember Jean. And then Robert Britt, who was supposed to be with us today, he called this morning around, 8 o'clock or so, and told us he was not going to be able to be here because he's been exposed to COVID, and he does not want to have a risk at all. And I appreciate that from Robert. I truly do. We're going to miss him, and there'll be another time, Lionel and Jeff, that we can have Robert here to speak to us again. All right, so let's remember Robert this morning. All right, are they those that, yes, Lori?
Family of John Roberts.
John?
Family of John Roberts.
Joan Roberts, okay.
And Ronnie Lauer.
Yes. All right, now we mentioned this morning, Laura Ann, you want to bring us up to date on that, Miss Betty?
Well, she's
And let's see, Miss Ruth, you had cataract, didn't you? Didn't you have someone have cataract? I missed that somewhere. I wrote it down. Somebody had a cataract. Whoever you are, how many fingers am I holding up? Okay. I'm sorry. All right. Yes, Robert.
Ted Foreman. I heard they just sent him home from the hospital with hospice.
Okay. Ted Foreman. Okay. Yes.
Praise
report.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Surgery.
Yes.
They got all of it.
Good.
Which is good. She's not going to do radiation, but she will be on some type of chemo deal for 5 years. But all's good there right now.
Wonderful.
I was very pleased.
Wonderful.
And Emily's family's got COVID again. Natalie has tested positive. Emily hadn't felt good all week, but they were involved in a wedding that they felt with and were in.
It is. All right. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity you've given us and an opportunity you've given us to assemble together in your house. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. And Lord, we know you're an awesome God. And Lord, you are now, and you know this all along, but Lord, we stand in the need of prayer every day, every moment. And now, Lord, we want to pray for all of those, Lord, who are dealing with the COVID virus. Lord, we ask that you would come and destroy this evil, evil thing. Restore us again to some degree of normal living, we pray. But then, Lord, we have a special blessing upon those, Lord, who have been mentioned this morning. I'd like to call their name to you, Lord, as you've said to be specific in our request. And, Lord, I pray for Pam and Pastor Ed this morning. We lift them up to you, Lord, and we ask for healing for their bodies. Miss Nell Jackman is in the hospital today, Lord, fighting an infection. And, Lord, we pray for her. We pray for, Lord, the family. We pray for the family, Lord, who are caregivers. We pray for strength and patience with them. Miss Jean Little, we lift her up to you this morning as she's not feeling well. We pray for Robert Britt, who is going to be with us today but could not because of COVID. We pray for Robert. We pray for Joan Roberts. We pray for Ronnie Louder family and the Joan Robert family. We pray for Miss Laura Ann, Lord, as she is still battling, and we lift her up for you. As Ted Foreman's been mentioned this morning, Lord, unless it's your will and your power, all power, Lord, he's really grave this morning. We pray for him. We pray for him today. We pray for David's mom, Lord. We ask and we're so thankful, Lord, for the praise report we've received this morning. But we pray for her this morning as she continues. We pray for his family, Lord, who are battling COVID. And we pray for Paul and his wife, the family there, plus Emily and her family. And COVID has seeming to spread, and Lord, we lift them up to you this morning. Now, Lord, we ask that you would go forward with us today, Lord, as we continue in the service today. We pray, Lord, for each one who is here. Help us, Lord, to know we are here to worship your holy name. And Lord, we will be so very careful to thank you for all your blessings and this prayer we make in your precious name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a song of praise this morning, and it's I Need Thee Every Hour. And boy, if there's ever been a time this song applies, it's today. And when we get down to the end of the last chorus, I want us to stop the music, and I just want us to sing. And I want you to sing before the Lord, and I want you to pray to him, Lord, I need you. And we do. We need him every hour. Brenda, Kathy, let's go. I need thee every hour. You stand, please.
Like that.
remain standing now with no music. Let's sing the chorus. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Everybody said amen. You may be seated. All right, children, you're dismissed. A little traveling music up there. I will make you fishers of men. Indeed, that is true. Well, good morning. It's me, and I know you're probably getting sick of me by now, but this morning about 8 o'clock, I got a call from the chairman of the deacons, and he said, "Leonard, and when it rains, it pours." I said, "Uh-oh." So. Robert Britt was not able to be with us this morning, and he had planned to come and speak to us this morning. But at 8 o'clock in the morning, we don't have much time to get another speaker. And so I wish Chris was here this morning, and I would tell him what his dad always told me, I'm better than nothing. And he'd always tell me that, and he'd keep me humble with that. But I want you to pray for me this morning. I've got a message that I've kept back in my Bible. And I made the mistake of telling you all some time ago that way back when I first became chairman of the deacon some years ago, Randall Dawkins told me without a shadow of a doubt, you better carry one with you because there's going to come a day when I'm going to call you. And I laughed at him a little bit, but I thank God I did put one in the Bible and I kept it. And he did call me one day. He called me about 1 hour before, just like Jeff did this morning. About 1 hour before, and said, "We need you this morning." Well, I thank God that He allows me to be an instrument. I'm not a good one, but I thank God He allows me to be an instrument. And this morning, as I was thinking about it, and I asked God, I said, "God, just lead me to what I need to say. I don't have any time to study anything. But Lord, if with your words, I don't need to worry about that so much. If you'll help me here." And he did. And so this morning I want us to think about forgiveness. I want us to go to John, 1 John. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John 1. And we're going to read 8 through 10. And then we're going to go to John 2. And we're going to read 1 through 2. Some of these verses may seem familiar to you in the Sunday school class. We covered these, I don't know, sometime last year, maybe the early part of 2020. I remember it, but the full text of what I have today was not covered. And so today I want us to talk about forgiveness. I want to talk about cleansing of sin. I have to go back a little bit and remind you that I am old. You know, I'll be 76 this year. And I can remember when my great-grandmother used to wash her clothes in a pot, wash pot, around a fire. And she used lye soap. And she made the lye soap. And I asked her one time, I said, "Grandmother, does it get you clean?" She says, "It'll get the clothes clean. It may take your skin off, but it'll get the clothes clean." And I remember very clearly on wash day morning, and I was just a little Fraser, just about knee high. But my mother would say, "Go out and see great-grandmother." She didn't live very far from us, walking distance. Nowadays, you wouldn't last a kid that young to walk that far. But in those days, you didn't worry about it so much. And I would walk out there, and my great-grandmother Honeycutt would be out there around that pot, and she'd be singing. And she sang bad. She couldn't help it, but she sang bad, but boy, her heart was in it. And I never forget it. She'll go, "Why can't wash away my sins?" And you could hear her all over the community. Well, what a testimony that was, because she said, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about forgiveness in John 1, 8 through 10. John says in his gospel, by the way, if you want to go to parts of the Bible that talks about forgiveness more than any other part, I'd suggest you do John's gospel and John's epistles. Nowhere in it will you find more about forgiveness of sin than in this group of scripture. John 3:16, one verse that you learned when you were just smaller than I was when I went over to see great-grandmother. But remember forgiveness. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Let's read together. In John, beginning with the 8th verse. "If we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Now, I'm going to stop there, and I'll pick up the other part in a moment. But what John was dealing here with was false teachers, false doctrine, just like we would today. You have people today that really say that we have no sin. We're perfect. We're perfect in every way. Well, now Mary Poppins is the only one I know that said that, and I believed that she actually acted that way. But that was a fairy tale, almost. But let's remember this, what the Bible says. John is saying, if you say you have no sin, you deceive who? You deceive yourself. I can't think of anything worse than kidding yourself, than deceiving yourself. When you do that, you make yourself a fool. You make yourself a fool. We talked about the fool a little bit Wednesday night and how serious that was. But you don't, when you deceive yourselves, you make yourself out a liar. And the truth, and notice what he says, the truth is not in us. That word truth, and there's one thing that I found out in business. One thing I have to have is trust. That's one thing you have to have is trust. No matter where you do, what you go, where you say, or whatever, you must have trust. And the truth, but he is saying here, if we have no sin. So what were these false teachers saying? Well, the false teachers were saying that, hey, Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, He died to forgive you of all your sins, and you're now forgiven, and so you don't need to worry about it. Just sin all you want to. I've heard people say that. He's already forgiven us. You know, I believe in sinless perfection. No, I don't have to worry about it. God has forgiven us. He can't. There's no way that anybody's going to take the salvation away from me, and I believe that. I don't believe anybody can. I don't think anybody can pluck you out of the hands of Jesus. But I will say this. If you're happy, if anybody's happy to keep on sinning and keep on with the lifestyle that they have, then you better have a checkup time. You better have a checkup time, because there's something wrong. Because what's happened here is saying, if you say you have no sin, then the truth is not in you. And you become one of the false teachers. So now in the 9th verse, he talks about what has to happen. First thing, if we are going to be saved, you have to do is confess. Oh my, you have to say you're guilty. Now that was one thing my dad always insisted upon. The punishment wouldn't be nearly as bad if I just say, "Hey Dad, I did it and I'm sorry." That punishment wouldn't be too bad. But if you want to get into problem with him, just don't confess and just tell a lie. And then you just look out, because you're going to get to follow around a circle with that strop coming around. Dad never did it much, but when he did, I deserved it. But listen what it says here. Confess your sins. And if you do confess your sins, Jesus says He's going to do something for you. Jesus says, and He says, and John says, Jesus is going to be faithful. Now, what's faithful? Faithful is something you can depend on. Dependability. There's nothing like being able to say that I can depend on somebody. Now, every one of you, I believe if I needed something today, I believe I could come to you, and I believe you'd be there for me. I believe that. That's dependability. That's dependability. Now, if you could. But there's times that you can't. But Jesus is, but John is saying here with Jesus, there's never a time. If you confess your sins before him, there's never a time that he won't be faithful. And there'll never be a time that he won't be just. Now, what's the word just? No other word just or justified? John is saying that Jesus will absolutely forgive you of those sins because he is faithful and he can make you justified to forgive it. Now, what John is dealing with here again is where the false teachers were. The false teachers are saying, well, if he's already forgiven you, you don't have to worry about it. And you just keep on sinning. Keep on sinning again. That's all you have to do. But that's not what he's talking about here. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being cleansed. Now look at that word cleanse here. We talked about cleanse a while ago a little bit from my great-grandmother. That's one way of cleansing. But this is a spiritual cleansing. When Jesus absolutely forgives you of something and forgives you of your sins, there's a spiritual cleansing involved. And that's when the forgiveness comes. Now, does that still make you perfect? No, John is saying it does not. It doesn't make you perfect at all. But what Jesus has done, he's paid the price to cleanse you from your unrighteous. Now, that word unrighteous, the word unrighteous, no unrighteous person can be in heaven. No unrighteous person can be in heaven. But what makes you righteous? What makes you righteous is being able to be forgiven of your sins. That's what forgiveness is all about, to make you righteous, to make you where you can stand before the Lord and he say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. That's what gets you into heaven. It's not what you works would you do. It's not how good you are. It's not what anything at all. It's about the very thing that John is saying here about confession and cleansing and being of all of your unrighteousness. And when Jesus forgives you, he don't forgive you just for a little bit, just for a few. John, notice he says here, from how many of your unrighteousness? All. Big time, all. Everything. Everything you have done in the past that you, when you come before the Lord and you ask forgiveness, he will forgive you for the. And then he goes in the 10th verse and he again repeats the fact that he says, if any of you say that they have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, what he's saying here is, if you say that you have not sinned, you're making God a liar and you're making yourself a liar, because he says it very, very quickly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you say amen to that? Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. We all have. And why is that? Because we are not perfect. We are not perfect. I think if I would ask anybody today about sinning and the sins that you might commit, the biggest one that I'm going to hear you say is the sin of omission. It's omission. And that's a sin too, by the way. Omission to me is something I should have done, but I didn't. Omission to me is something I make excuse for, and I didn't do it. That's what omission is, and that's when you don't follow the Lord and the law by saying, I will agree, Lord, if you will forgive me my sins. So how many times, though, have we caught ourselves saying, just take the word prayer, and we believe in prayer here. I think it's beautiful to watch us each and every Sunday and the people raise their hand and talk about prayer. And the reason you asked for prayer is because you believe. You believe. Believe. Prayer changes things. Amen. And we believe that. So what he's saying here is that we, if you don't believe that you have sinned, then you make God a liar, and the word is not in us. So what I'm asking you to do today is remember that you're not perfect. But I'm also asking you to remember this, that God is there to forgive. And notice that also he expects you, if he forgives you, he expects you to forgive others. And that's another key to that too. So keep that in your mind. Jesus paid it all. Paid it all that we may have life and may have it more abundant. So when we confess, we, number one, agree when you confess that, yes, I'm guilty. I'm guilty, Lord. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that sin. And I think when you confess and ask God to forgive you, he is just and not, hey, listen, he's promised he'll do it. So therefore, he is saying to you, I will do this for you. If you ask forgiveness. All right. Let's go on. Let's talk about unrighteousness just a little bit, and what it means to be unrighteous. Well, I have to tell you, unrighteous just simply means unforgiven. And so the only way that you can straighten that up is to be asked God for and confess and tell him you're a sinner and you forgive it. But I think everybody in this room today, that I believe you know the Lord as your Savior. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to repent, does it? Oh my, I tell you what, I think I've repented more since I've been a Christian than I did ever before, without a doubt, because I didn't see the need to it. But I gotta tell you something. You need to repent. And then God is faithful and just to forgive us. All right, let's go now to 1 John in the second chapter, and let's read verses 1 and 2. I want you to notice how John is dealing with the people he's writing the letter to, the church. And he's writing the letter to the church, and he says, "My little children." What an enduring term that must be. And when he said that, I want you to know he's talking about he loves them. When he calls them my little children. My mother would say that to me sometime. "Now, my little boy, this, you need to do this." Yes, Rosina, I was sweet at one time. And my mother always made me believe I was special. She did. And I didn't know this, but she made the other two children feel the same. But I always thought I was her pet. But didn't happen. I thank God, though, that we're special to him, aren't you? Everybody in this room, you're special. Everybody in this room here, there's value. Huge value in the Lord. Everybody is. Keep that in mind, and that's why it's so important to keep yourself clean and holy before the Lord. Let's read together. "My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now, as John is confirming back to the church here, and he says, "My children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not." And you said, uh-oh. Now, you've already said that you do sin. What John is saying here is, it's a good thing if you would not sin. I don't want you to sin. I want the benchmark to be up here where you don't sin, or certainly you don't sin often, or you don't just sin and say, "Hey, God's got it under control. Just go ahead and do what you want to do." That's what he's talking about. It's better, Lord, if you just sin not. But notice he says, "But if any man does sin, we have an advocate." Now, what's an advocate? Well, I don't know about you, but I've always been, now here again, I'm going to mark my age. I'm going to do it for sure as a world. But I love Perry Mason. Some of you got it. If you wanted to win, if you wanted to be not guilty, Perry's your man. Right? Did he ever lose a case? I don't think he did. If he ever lost one, I don't remember. But I will tell you this much about Perry Mason, F. Lee Bailey, all those people that are supposed to be great advocates that can plead your case and say, "He really didn't do it." All of that is great. But notice what he says here, that if you want the advocate, the best advocate, notice the Jesus. We have an advocate with the Father, and that advocate is Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's standing at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me and for all. And those intercessions are when you pray and say, "God, forgive me," Jesus, as your advocate, reaches over and says, "Father, forgive them. Forgive." They didn't know what they were doing. Forgive them, like he did on the cross. That's the advocate part. That's the advocate. That's someone that you can depend on. Now, we have advocates here. I have people that I can call and I can depend on every single time. And I know they're advocate to me. And they would be there for me. But not like Jesus is. Jesus is there day and night. As I said before, 24-7. 24-7, you can call on him. He's never busy. He's always there for you. So Jesus is the advocate for all of our sins. But not ours only. I want you to now, again, where John is dealing with the church again, with the false teachers. You know, there's one thing that hurts this world today is false doctrine.
False doctrine is so dangerous, because what happens is with false doctrine, it looks good. It sounds good. But there's a hook in it. You don't know it until it's too late. It's too late. Kind of like Jeff fishing. He'll catch the hook if he has the worms on it and do it right. Right, Jeff? The world's going to do it for you too. It's going to make you look good to you. And it's going to have all that glitters. But all that glitters is what? Not gold. Is it? But too late sometimes when you find out that it's not. But notice what he says here. But not only for the sins of ours, but also for the whole world. Now, I want us to talk about that just a moment. There are people who have the false doctrines that we deal with today. There's false doctrines in this world that would have you believe that Jesus has already got all he's want marked in this, all is over with. That nobody else is going to be saved except the number that's already been determined. The only thing I'm going to tell you about that is that I don't believe it, because I believe that Jesus died for all. I believe he died for all that would accept. Now, are they going to accept all of them? Goodness, no. The Bible tells us very clear, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate. Narrow is the gate that we're on. So what's that saying? That's saying that fewer people will accept Christ than that will reject him. How sad. How sad that is. But it's true. It's true. And that's what this is talking about here. But notice he says all of those people could be saved. It would be God's will for all to be saved if they would only receive him and only accept him. So look, it says, everybody. That word, I want you to look at that word again. That word propitiation, it's hard for me to say. But that word means simply this. He's there. He takes our place. He is there for you. He accepts your sin. He is there for you. He is there, accepts. He is the sacrifice that was given for you. That's what that word means. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. He died on the cross that we might be just and we might go before him and be forgiven of our sins. So all of us remember this, that as you go through life, there'll always be a need for Jesus Christ in your life. No one can do it alone. Nobody can be alone. I've seen many times that I'd say, now, Lord, I got this problem. I think I can handle this one. Just let me just handle it. It gets messed up every single time. And I try to make in my life a rule that when I make a decision, I try to pray about it. And that's what we all should do. And if you do sin, and you will, like I said, if no other reason, the sin that you might commit would be that of just, I forgot the omission part. If you do that, God's faithful and just to forgive you for that too and move along. So that's my message to you this morning, is forgiveness. Thank God for it, because we need it. Every single one of us need forgiveness in our life. So I want us to remember that as you go forward. And I'm going to go back and use these terms in McCord. I've said this many times, and it's true, that when I'm through, I'm through. And I've seen preachers before stand, and when they're not through, you still know it. They are through. And I'm not a preacher, so I can just say I'm through. But I do thank you for your time this morning, and I hope that what I've shared with you this morning about forgiveness is true to all of you, that you know that you've got a strong advocate in Jesus Christ, and he's in heaven for you. There's no reason to go through life unhappy. Don't go through life beating yourself up. You don't need to do any of that. Christ has already taken all the sin for you. All you've got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. All right. This morning now, is, as I said, when we close, don't forget to come down. But I want us to do something this morning that's been on my heart, and I think we need to do, and especially now when it seems to be more and more and more cases of COVID. I think everybody here, we just talked about prayer. We just talked about how important and prayer can be. I think everybody here will agree that God is all-powerful. God is in control, and God can destroy this disease. But how many times have we, as a unit, have we prayed together, God, defeat this thing? So what I'm going to ask you to do this morning, and Lionel, I'm going to ask you if you'll lead us in this prayer. I want everybody to stand, and I want us to pray that God will give us deliverance from COVID. And I want us to pray together. Now, I don't know what his timetable is. I have no clue. But as we look across this nation of ours, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And fear is getting the beef among all of it. And it's making people do things and say things. What we need to do is depend on God. Lionel, if you would, please. Let's pray together this morning. And that'll be our closing. Lionel. Thank you all. You're dismissed. And don't forget, ladies, come down front and love offering, please.